Just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10 for our message tonight. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved by the blood. Amen. Amen. By the way, that preacher that was with us this morning dropped in on us, just found us. He didn't know about the radio, didn't know about a lot of things here. But he looked us up. He had spent the night. He's traveling back from a meeting in Oklahoma. And a meeting that was supposed to have been a one-week meeting turned into a two-week meeting. The second preacher that was supposed to have been there got COVID, wasn't able to be there. And so he just stayed and preached. And then because that had upset his schedule, and so he's traveling alone on his motorcycle. And stayed at Eddyville last night and looked us up and found us and dropped in on us. That was a blessing. He gave us a track that he wrote. Brother Ricky got one. I don't know how many of you might have got one. A very good track. Very good track. Deals with repentance and lordship, not as points. It's all of it. I mean, it's included in everything. The points is about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Amen. And I thought it was a very good track, and I was pleased with that. And blessed that he stopped in on us, and glad to hear, amen, of what's going on and what God had done with him and through him. And he mentioned about being at Faith Baptist Camp in November 1993, hearing Brother Milby, probably for the first time. I feel sure we were there. That would have been the year Ben was born. I'm most positive that would have been when we would have been there. That Thanksgiving's always when we were there. And it's amazing how God puts things like that together. Amen. And then while you're there at Proverbs 10, let me say this before I bring my message. Lest you think differently, when Brother Worth was preaching that message on salvation, it was not a confusing message. It was an assurance, like you said. That's the way I took it. It was assurance. It was an assuring message. And he made the statement that he didn't want to see people get confused. But the devil is good at confusion. He'll use anything he can. He'll use a good thing to bring confusion. There's a difference in confusion and conviction. Amen. Sometimes they do come together, but the devil is not the author of confusion. God's not the author of confusion. Let me say that right. The devil is the author of confusion. See there, he done got me confused. I say it again. God is not the author of confusion. The devil is the author of confusion. God is the author of conviction. Amen. And conviction will bring you to Christ, not make you give up and say there's no hope. Amen. Turn the other way. Confusion will do that. Amen. All right. Having said all that, Proverbs chapter number 10. And I'll start reading in verse number 13. We've looked at these first 12 verses. I'm back in the, in the saddle of looking at these verse by verse. And we've already run ahead and gone through several others in the past looking at trying to get subjects out of this. And I felt like we need to go back and look at it verse by verse and deal with it in that category. So that's how we're going to do tonight. And we did this a few weeks ago when we looked at it and got down through verse number 12. Tonight I'm going to start with verse 13. I'm going to read through verse 17. I hope to deal with more than that because I'd like to not spend all the time too long on these. But I say again that these don't necessarily go verse by verse together. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they're clumped together. And we'll notice that. We'll make notice of that when we do. But by looking at it, just like God said it, I want to receive the word of God from the mouth of God. Amen. Get his wisdom. He had a reason. We don't understand his reasoning. That's one sign, by the way, that man didn't write this book. If man wrote it, you'd be able to probably notice and figure out why a man said it like he said it. But God wrote it, and it's way above our thinking. Amen. Verse number 13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. All right, Brother Troy, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, Lord. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. By the way, lest I forget it again, I think we're planning on trying to have a Bible study this Friday night, if anybody can come. We haven't done that in several months, and I mentioned it. I was asking Miss Elizabeth about her surgery, if that's going to mess her up, and she don't think so. She thinks she'd be able to be here, so I said, well, I think it's time to go and do it. I'm not ready, to be honest. I'm going to deal with faith. I've started looking at that. I don't have it together like I had the other things together, but I'll give you what I can from it. We'll at least get started on it. Faith is a big subject, too big to cover probably in one study, although I don't want to drag it out. That's the way I'm doing with these verse by verse. I don't necessarily want to sit drug out, but I want to deal with these as we can. So if you can come Friday night, what time do we normally start? Is it 6? 7? We start at 7 on Friday night? All right, we'll plan on 7 o'clock Friday night, and we'll try not to drag it out and make it long, but we'll meet together back in the fellowship hall and have a good time of Bible study if you can come. All right, verse number 13, just looking at these verse by verse, I remind you, the first 9 chapters all do go together pretty good. You can see how they line up. But then when you come at least to chapter number 26, you see that they don't go together so well. And so what I thought was best was maybe to pick out some subjects in each chapter and at least deal with chapter by chapter and pull out those subjects. Then I got convicted of it, to be honest with you, that I wasn't giving it the way God gave it. And so I thought it'd be better to go back and look at that. So we picked that back up a few weeks ago and started with chapter number 10 and dealt with those first 12 verses. We read them all. We read down through verse number 32, I think. But tonight I'm going to just deal with these. And verse 13, I'm going to try to get through verse 22, give these 10 verses. That'll leave us 10 verses, hopefully, that we can deal with. As a matter of fact, I think there's a break between verse 22 and 23 that you can see in there as well. So looking at verse number 13, the Bible says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Now we've been told that a wise person will receive commandments. Look back at verse number 8, this same chapter, verse number 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. And he starts there really talking about the mouth, and he deals with the mouth down through here. Verse number 11 deals with the mouth again. I believe verse number 12 probably does. Verse number 13 picks up with not the mouth of the wicked, but now he's talking about the mouth of the righteous, the mouth of the wise, and in the mouth of him that hath understanding, or in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. So a wise person will listen and will receive instruction. It's been told over and over again. Solomon said that to his son. Amen. But he says here that not only a wise person will use his ears productively to learn something, but he'll use his mouth productively to teach something. Because when knowledge is given to you, it's not just for you to hoard up. It's for you to pass on to somebody else. Especially spiritual information. When spiritual information is given to you or I, it is given to help somebody else. Amen. I know there's been quite a bit of joking, and it's not all been joking, but quite a bit of talk about we need some men to step up and help teach Sunday school. Not that Brother Steve doesn't do a good job, or that we need to put him out to pastor, although he thinks that's right. That's not right. He's wrong. Again, it's just another thing he's wrong about. Amen. He don't need to be put out to pastor. But We need some men to be ready. Here, I thought about this this past Wednesday night when I got that call Wednesday morning that the preacher that was supposed to be here was having heart trouble, wasn't going to be able to be here. It would have been nice, and I could have. I actually even thought about either calling Brother Steve or calling Brother Philip. Say, can one of y'all just step up and give a lesson? By the way, the sheep do need to be fed, even when the shepherd's out taking care of some other work. Amen. Amen. And so, and there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. Matter of fact, I think it's biblical. Amen. And so, it'd be good to, and I mean, God might be teaching some people, giving some people some ideas. What's everybody looking over that way for? But anyway, he may be. Seriously, this is for every one of us. He's telling us something. As parents, tell it to our children, tell it to our neighbor, tell it to our friends, tell it to the world, amen. He's given us some information. So a wise person won't only use his ears productively, he'll use his lips productively, amen. Boy, we could say a lot about that, and we ought to, amen. But I believe that wisdom and understanding may instruct us that sometimes we shouldn't use our lips. There's sometimes we need to seal our lips. Wisdom will teach us that there's a time to speak and there's a time to keep silence. Wisdom will teach us that. The prat and fool that he talked about in verse number 8 is one's got a big mouth. That pratting has the idea of a big mouth, a running mouth, an overflowing mouth. It has to do with verbal diarrhea. You understand that? Amen. Their mouth just keeps running and they can't control it. Amen. Well, wisdom will help us to know when to seal our lips maybe and refrain from speaking, but it'll also teach us when to open our lips and share our information. Amen. Amen. Contribute with our information. Now, he contrasts all these, not all these, but almost all these proverbs are contrasts. Now, from chapter number 10 through chapter number 26, there's contrast after contrast. Look at it. He talks about the lips of one with wisdom, with understanding. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. He don't know when to shut his mouth, so he has to be punished. He has to be punished. He is void of understanding. Now, here's... Nothing worse than somebody with an empty head and a full mouth. A full mouth with an empty head. My mama used to say, and my grandmother used to say, that the reason people use profanity is because they're not smart enough to use good words, because if they just knew good words, they wouldn't have to use those bad words. Now, there may be more to it. They do that on purpose, some of them. They think it makes them look big, or maybe they do it to fit in, or whatever. They have their reasons. But it is true. You ought to learn good words and use good words, amen, not using foul words or vile words or even colored words, amen. You understand what I'm talking about? Words that might not necessarily be cursing, but it sure borderline. Sure leads you down the wrong road of your thinking. Amen. But he talks here about the fool that needs the rod for his back. He is void of understanding. He doesn't know when to shut up. Amen. Look at Proverbs 26. We'll hold our place at 10. We'll come back and look at the next verse in a minute. But go to Proverbs chapter 26. Now, I won't do a lot of this. Just got this one right here. Proverbs 26 and verse number 3. There we go. Look what he said. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. That's what he just talked about, a fool needing a rod. He said the rod was for the fool's back. He said in verse number 13 of chapter 10, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Why does the fool need the rod? He said it's the same reason that the horse needs a whip. And a donkey needs a bridle. He needs somebody to get control of him. You don't whip a horse because you hate a horse. You whip a horse to control the horse. to get control of him because he's got so much pent up energy and so much strength that he'll hurt you and maybe hurt others if you don't get control of him. Amen. By the way, that's what children will do if we don't get control of the children. Yes. Amen. Amen. They'll wind up hurting you, hurting somebody else, or hurting a lot of people if we're not careful. Yes. Amen. We've got to get control of them. So he said, a whip is good for the horse and a bridle is good for the ass, for the donkey. But you can't control the mouth or the meanness of a fool without a rod. I hate the fact that people have to go to jail. Hate the fact that people have to go to prison. But I'm glad we have a jail and a prison system. Amen. Because some people would never learn. Never learn. Amen. It had to be dealt with that way. All right, that's what he's talking about there. Look at verse number 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of foolishness is near destruction. You see, this goes right along with it. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Almost coinciding with the previous verse that we looked at. We see here that the lips of the wise is furnished with wisdom. Their heart is the storehouse. They store up the wisdom. It goes in their ears. They receive it into their heart. Amen. It is possible for it to go in one ear and out the other, as they say, right? Amen. It is possible that we hear without hearing. Amen. Because we're not listening. We're not paying attention. But here the wise man lays up knowledge. He treasures it. Goes in his ears. Again, he's using his ears productively. But it goes into his heart. And he stores up that knowledge as a treasure. Amen. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge can be obtained by reading the Bible and by meditating on it. Amen. Brother Philip was talking to Sunday school this morning about all the verses that he read in Sunday school. He'd read them many times before, but he learned from them in his study and preparing to teach us. You know why he learned from them? He thought on them. A lot of times we read them, but we don't think on them. Amen. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just saying that's how we do. That's why it's good not just to read your Bible, but study your Bible. Amen. Actually, study it. Know something about it. Reading our Bible, meditating upon it. Hearing sermons. Amen. Conversation about holy things. Amen. By the way, that's one of the way these young men in this weekend wind down thing, they're talking about holy things. That's holy conversation. And it iron sharpeneth iron. Amen. And it's helpful. It's helpful for all of us. That's one of the blessings that I see in the churches. People wanting to get around and talking. They're not just all talking about the news or talking about sports or talking about worldly things, but they're talking about spiritual things. Amen. Amen. And that we learn by that. That we learn by observation. We learn by experience, just by going through some things. Amen. We learn. I believe we can learn by prayer. Amen. Prayer and faith. Matter of fact, James tells us if we lack wisdom, Brother Philip read it in Sunday school this morning. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. Amen. We can learn by prayer. I remember reading that Martin Luther said that he got more of his sermons in prayer than he did in study. Amen. That's pretty, in a sense, that's pretty odd, pretty amazing. You can learn by talking to God. Amen. If talking to each other helps us learn, surely talking to God would help us learn. Amen. So he's talking about these wise men. They lay up knowledge. By the way, is learning important to you? I know we got kids in school, and some of them don't want to be in school. My oldest granddaughter hates school. I hate that. When she first started, she loved it. It's wonderful when kids love learning. Her sister loves learning. But you go through spells, and I guess maybe I went through that spell as well, a time when you just want to get out of school. You want to get done with all that stuff. But you ought never quit learning.
ought to be important for us to learn. And I'm trying to use this spiritually primarily, not just learning about things, not just learning more information, but learning more about Him, learning more about the working of the Spirit of God, learning more about the Scriptures. Amen. Amen. So these wise men that he talks about in this verse not only sought after wisdom, they treasured it. That they not only treasured it, they laid it up. They got a hold of it and they stored it up. Amen. That's the idea that he got there. They treasured it when they found it. Amen. I believe the Bible says you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. When God gets to be, when you get serious about seeking after God, He's not hard to find. Amen. I don't believe He's hard to find. How often we fail to take to heart the things that we've heard or read. We let it slip. Amen. We say, I'm going to deal with that. We let it slip away from our memory when we ought to treasure it up in our heart. Again, you see in verse 14 that that wisdom is contrasted with foolishness. Wise men layeth up knowledge. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Again, the wise man treasured his knowledge, but the foolish man treasures vanity. He treasures lies. He treasures idleness. He even treasures hateful sayings. His mouth is near destruction. He's talking about, what is destruction? Damnation is destruction. He talks about damnable things. What do fools in the world talk about? I tell you what they talk about. They talk about drugs. They talk about illicit sex. They talk about drinking. Yeah. They talk about pride. What's pride? Headed for destruction. Right. They talk about riches. They talk about things that are important to them. But the things they're talking about are things that are headed for destruction. And it's foolish talk. Vanity. And his mouth will get him in trouble sooner or later. That's what he's saying about that foolish man. Look at verse number 15. It changes. I don't believe this verse fits the other verses, and I don't believe it should be taken literally. Notice what it says. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. I say again, I don't believe that verse is to be taken literally. Some people would take it literally and say that's why you need to be rich, because you got a lot of protection in riches. Wealth may protect you from many things, but it's not a strong city. It won't protect you from everything. Wealth can't be trusted entirely. Amen. It's a good thing to make plans. It's a good thing to save for things. It's a good thing to set aside and plan and prepare and not go in debt. You go through all those. All that's wonderful. But it can be wiped away in a moment of time. There's a million ways that it can be. You can't trust in your wealth. Amen. Wealth and riches may protect somebody from famine, from hunger, from nakedness, from homelessness. Many other wants, desires that riches may protect us from, but it will not protect you from disease. COVID don't care if you got money in the bank or not. Cancer don't care if you got money in the bank or not. We say the death angel, if you want to use it personified that way, the death angel visits the rich man's house just like he visits the poor man's house. It won't protect you from disease. It won't protect you from death. And it certainly won't protect you from damnation. Amen. But here's what I believe this verse is saying. Rich people are liable to trust in their riches. They think their riches is a strong city. This is what their mouth is saying. This mouth void of understanding, I believe, is saying that my riches are my protection. My riches are my strong city. And so they tend to trust in riches. By the way, that's when Jesus dealt with that rich man. That rich young ruler came running to Jesus. You remember that? And he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus went through the commandments. Told him, by the way, that man said, I've done all these. I've kept these from my youth. Jesus didn't deny it, and Jesus wasn't surprised. He knew he'd kept all them from his youth. But here's what the man said after he said, all these have I kept from my youth. That man said, what lack I yet? That's where Jesus wanted him to see that that wasn't good enough. Jesus wanted to get him to a place that he could see that all the good that he'd done, all the deeds that he'd done, what he was trusting in was not enough. So Jesus said, all right, you've been trusting in your religion. I'm going to take another strong city away from you. You're trusting in your riches. So he said to him, take all that you've got, sell it and give it to the poor and come follow me. And thou shalt inherit eternal life. I don't remember how he said that. But anyway, come follow me. And the rich man left. Miserable and empty because he loved his riches. When the disciples said, who then can be saved? What Jesus said, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. It's not the riches that keep you out. It's the trust that you put in riches that can keep. And that's what happened in verse number 15. He's talking about the rich man, his wealth is his strong city. He's put his trust there. Amen. Notice that the verse, notice how it reads. It doesn't say the rich man's wealth is a strong city. He said it's his strong city. That's what he thinks about it. Not that it is one, but that's what he thinks about it. I believe indicating that the rich man views his wealth as his protection. Amen. He thinks he can trust in it, but we know better. Amen. Then he goes talking about the poor man. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Contrasting that, the poor man is not actually destroyed by his poverty. Amen. You think about this. Poor people are not destroyed by their poverty. How many poor people you know have got a happy home? Blessed of God. They're not destroyed by their poverty. We could take the other. How many rich people you know who are miserable? Their family's falling apart. Their life's falling apart. It's not a strong city. So what he's saying here is that this is not to be taken literally, but it's how society looks at it. Amen. Amen. Many poor people do believe that poverty is their destruction. Well, the reason why I can't be happy is because I'm poor. You think a dollar would make you happier? No, you'd want another dollar. And then another, and then another, and then another. Amen. It's not money that makes you happy. Amen. The old saying, money can't buy you happiness. One fellow said, but it can keep you going until happiness gets here, what he said. Amen. Amen. But the truth is, riches don't make you protected in the strong city, and neither does poverty necessarily destroy you. Although we think that, there's a lot of people that believe that they cannot survive because they're so poor. That I'm headed to destruction because I'm so poor. I'll never get out of debt. I'll never get out of poverty. This is where I reside. This is going to be my destruction. This is how I'm going to be. But can I tell you, even poor people have recovered from poverty. Amen. They have. They've done better than they had done in the past. Amen. Matter of fact, I believe the Proverbs would tell us, if you'll get proactive, that's one thing. Amen. If you'd get active, if you'd get aggressive, amen. Dave Ramsey would talk about that, getting passionate about it, getting aggressive at seeking to do something. You can, and this is just natural, and Proverbs dealing practical living, you can do better if you'll just aggressively try to do better on some things. Amen. So poverty doesn't destroy us, and riches are not something we can trust in. I'm not saying this verse is wrong. I'm saying this verse is in here to tell us how people think. And I believe this is how the foolish mouth talks. You listen to the talking heads, they'll tell you why that crime's so bad right now is because people are poor. Well, I'm telling you, people was poor in the Depression. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have cable TV. Amen. They didn't have motor scooters, bicycles, four-wheelers, and all the stuff that people's got today. Amen. They didn't have food stamps. Amen. They didn't have all that stuff. But they wasn't burning down cities. Amen. Well, let me get off of that. Look at verse 16. Let me get verse number 16. There's a word here Look at verse 16. The labor. Let's stop right there. There's the answer to a lot of that. Get to work. Listen, there's some words that are four-letter words, but they're not dirty words. The word work, the word save. Now, here there is some four-letter words that are dirty words, like the word debt. Amen. That can get you in trouble. Amen. And other things, but my point is, he's talking about the labor. Look at verse 16. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. You know what they do? Well, I want to get ahead of that. Look here at verse number 16. I really believe this verse 16, is probably connected to the previous verse, and it does tie in to that other end, the foolish, what they're saying. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. This verse, I believe, tying in, the righteous person often is not the rich person. He's not the wealthy person. He's actually the poor person. But this person is diligent to work. Amen. This righteous person is somebody that's working and trying to make his way better in life. Amen. Amen. But even though the wicked person may be a rich person, his riches are only used to sin. That's what he said. The fruit of the wicked is to sin. Now here's how sinners deal. I'm talking about the rich and the poor. You got a rich sinner, you know what he's going to do? He's going to enjoy rich sins. That's right. He ain't going to drink Bud Dumber. That's poor man's sin. He's going to snort cocaine. That's rich man's sin. Or, I mean, you just name a million things. He's going to import sin. He's going to bring in sin. You know what he's going to do? He's going to use his wealth for sin. But you take a poor man, you know what he's going to do? Well, I can never do no better. I might as well go get drunk. It ain't ever going to be any better than this. I might as well party hardy and enjoy this weekend. I may never see another paycheck. So all their thoughts, instead of laboring to do better with what they've got, whether it's riches or poverty, instead of laboring to do better, they waste it and they use it only for sin. Their thoughts run only to sin. The fruit of the wicked is to sin. The righteous tendeth to life. Amen. The wicked man, if he is wealthy, one of his sins may be that he sins when he hoards up his wealth, when he's greedy about his wealth, when he's covetous about his wealth. He's sinful when he's coveting all that. And amen, he's sinful when he spends it on his gratification of his wicked flesh. Amen. I just say again, I put this note here and I'll move to verse 17. Riches do not make one wicked, nor does it make one righteous. But it is noticeable how often Christ speaks of rich men as being fools and being wicked. We've all heard Jesus told a story. I don't think it was a parable because he uses the name of a literal person. We'll say the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Wonder why he never told a story about the poor man and Lazarus. Not that riches send people to hell, but it does send a lot of people to hell because they're trusting, they think it's their strong city. They're trusting in their riches. Amen. Now look at verse 17. I'm moving on. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. I believe verse 17 harkens back to verse 13. I think verse 14, 15, and 16 do go together, but they are talking about a particular subject. Verse 17 goes back to verse 13. He's telling us about the importance of laying up wisdom, keeping instruction. You see it in verse 17? He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. We talked earlier, verse 13, about treasuring it, looking for it, seeking after it, but not just seeking after it, gathering it together and storing it up. When you find it. That's what this is talking about as well. Amen. I talked about some of the ways we could search for instruction. Amen. We could search for instruction. I talked about listening to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, prayer, going to church, talking to one another, talking to God. We can gain instruction from those things. Let me just add a few more things. I'm just talking about, how about moms and dads? Amen. Children, moms and dads have a storehouse of information. Grandparents, amen, have a store of information. Sunday school teachers, pastors, preachers, amen. Church members have a store of information you could do well. Even school teachers, if they're godly, amen, can have good information. Well, he said they keep, they're in the way of life if they keep instruction. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. So we ought to take heed that our life, if we want a better, I talked about that earlier, poor man trying to better, if we want to better our life, it ain't just by working to get money, it's by learning. By the way, you're worth more when you know more. On the job. I'm talking about, literally. If you can learn, here's what some people do. Some people say, I'm just going to do enough to get by. I'm just going to do enough to do my job and get a paycheck. I'm not going to do any more. If you learn to do more, you'll be worth more. Amen. One of the ways you learn to do more is by following the orders that you're given. Amen. I don't have time to chase that rabbit, but it's right there. I can say a lot about it. I don't have time. But he contrasts this verse as well, verse number 17. He is in the way that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. That word erreth means veers off course. He's getting out of the way. He's headed in the wrong direction. Amen. Fools that refuse reproof cannot be told when they're wrong. Yep. They don't want instruction. Rather than humility, rather than meekness, by the way, humility and meekness will receive instruction, even when it's harsh. Amen. Sometimes you'll say, well, that pill was a little bit bitter, but maybe it'll help me. Amen. But foolishness doesn't have humility, it has pride. He errs because of his pride and his arrogance. Amen. Well, reproof and instruction may seem bitter at times, but like good medicine, it is the prescription that will help us. Amen. Look at verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. I think he starts on another subject here now. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. The man spoken of here is one that indulges in the wickedness, the dangerous impulse or passion, we'll use that word, the dangerous emotion of hatred. And yet he lies about it. He conceals it with a mask of friendliness. It's like Joab did to Abner. When he came up to Abner and he gave him a big hug and asked him, was he doing well? While he slipped a knife under his fifth rib. Hiding hatred with lying lips. Amen. Absalom, a good illustration of that. You remember that? Absalom went out and sat at the gate, told everybody, boy, I wish I was king if I had some authority. Boy, I'd do it like you want. By the way, he'd listen to both sides and he'd agree with both sides. That's what the Bible said. He told every man that. Every man. No matter which side he's on. He told every man, boy, if I just had some power. That sounds like politicians, don't it? It's exactly what it sounds like. And that's exactly what Absalom was. He was a politician who pretended friendship to every man in Israel when in reality he was hiding hatred in his heart. He hated his dad and he hated even them men that's going to put him in power. He just wanted his power. And it wound up being the end of him. Is a raging fire in his bones, amen, that raging fire of anger, that raging fire of hatred came out because he was a fool, amen. Now, I'm not sure if this is two different people. Look at it. He that hideth hatred with lying lips and he that uttereth a slander could be two different. One man here and another man there. You see that? Or it could be the same one, because I think you would tend to see that a man using lying lips would be the same man that would use a slander. He would use his lips to utter a slander. It looks to me like this person hypocritically pretends friendship while secretly slipping around and spreading scandalous lies. It's like a mole, not the little animal a mole, but a mole that gets in with a group of people that pretends to be one of them. A secret agent, a double agent, we'll say, that pretends to be one of them, dresses like them, shaves or don't shave like them, does whatever he's got to do to fit in with them, talks up the game, but secretly slips around and gives out other information. That happens a lot of times. Well, you think about this. This man here may think he's wise. He may think because of his pretense that he's wise. He may think that he's wise because he's able to do so much damage. But the Bible said he's a fool. You see that? Verse number 18. He said he's a fool. Amen. It runs parallel with the Proverbs that tells us that a fool is wise in his own eyes. Look at verse number 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. This is another warning about the use of our words. Amen. A person that talks excessively probably sins excessively as well. Amen. Expressions of vanity and pride, expressions of hatefulness and anger, expressions of rashness and not rational, rash, rushing along, inconsiderate, frequently flow from the lips of a sinful person. Amen. Again, I said wisdom teaches how to use our lips and how not to. Wisdom will govern our tongue like the bridle governs it. It restricts the mouth and makes it useful in the right way. Amen. Well, here's what wisdom will do. It'll teach us to think before we speak. Amen. It'll teach us to carefully and sparingly use our words. Amen. Now these next are going a little bit quicker. Look at verse number 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Again, going right along with it. It coincides, the first part there coincides with the ending of verse 19. Verse 19, but he that refraineth his lips is wise, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. He's saying that our speech may be sparingly, but it is precious. You don't have to have a whole lot of silver for it to be worth something. Amen. It's very precious. Silver is also very beautiful. It's also very useful. Our words that we choose to use need to be thought out. They need to be purified like silver is purified. They need to be used sparingly like silver is. They need to be used, what's the word I'm looking for? Used productively like silver is. They need to be used to beautify like silver does. Amen. Amen. Well chosen, well thought out, purified words. The value and the blessing of the tongue of the just, look at verse 20 again, is contrasted with the heart of the wicked. Now why does he go from the tongue to the heart? Because things go from the heart to the tongue. Yeah. How do you know that a wicked man's got a wicked heart? You listen to him long enough and he'll tell you. That's right. The tongue of the just is contrasted. And you talk about it being choice silver, valuable to the worthlessness of the wicked. His words are not like silver. His words are worthless. His words are of no value. Amen. His wisdom. Listen, young people, you young men in particular, young people, young ladies even, be careful who you listen to. A lot of them wise people on the internet are fools. A lot of them wise acres on the job are acres of foolishness. That's what they are. Amen. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. Amen. Well, words are a reflection of the heart. Amen. Valuable words come from a good heart. Worthless words proceed, he said, from the heart of the wicked here. Verse number 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Again, a contrast, the theme of the words of the righteous being contrasted with the words of the wicked. Continuing on, verse 19, 20. In verse number 18, he says that words, the wicked have words that can be lying lips and words that utter slander. That word utter doesn't mean just say it, it means spreading it. Here's what's interesting to me. Slanderous things. When somebody says something bad about somebody, usually this is what they say. Now I'm going to tell you something, but you've got to promise me you won't tell a living soul. You think they're not planning on telling another living soul? No, the reason they don't want you to tell another living soul is because they want to get to tell everybody. They don't want you stealing their thunder. Amen. Amen. But this idea, they spread it. It's not just something said, but they spread it around, and it's dangerous. So you got lying lips, and they spread slander. They can be multitudinous and sinful, like he talks about in verse number 19. They just spew out all these words, or they can be sparse and spared. They can be valuable like choice silver, or they can be wicked and be of little worth, as he said in verse number 20, of little worth. But here in verse 21, he tells us that the words of the righteous are not only valuable, but they're useful. They're helpful. They're nutritious. Amen. I'm not going to give you a nutrition lesson, just like I don't intend on giving you a money saving lesson when I talk about those. And I may mention Dave Ramsey. He's the money guru that of our generation that we know about. Years ago, I'd been talking about Larry Burkett. Now he's dead and gone. Nobody even mentions Larry Burkett, but he was the money guru back in the day, in my day, and I'm sure there was others, but I'm not here to give you a nutrition lesson, but I will say this, good food, I'm talking about food that's good for you, food that is good food, is satisfying. It's nutritious. And it's nourishing to life. Amen. That's what he said good words ought to be. Amen. Good words ought to, similarly to good food, they ought to be satisfying. They ought to be nutritious. They ought to be helpful. They ought to be nourishing to the soul of man. By the way, I don't know how far you can run this. I think you can run it to the nth degree. But when you talk to somebody, you're not just talking to their ears. You're not just instructing their body. You have the ability to speak to their spirit. You have the ability to speak to their soul. That's how powerful words are. So we ought to use helpful, nourishing words. Amen. Good food. Here's another similarity. Good food is better when it's shared with others. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. You can have a good meal all to yourself. It's not near as fun as when you share it with somebody else. Amen. We used to have a neighbor that would come visit us when we had the four kids. There'd be six of us around the table. He said, I want to come sit down and have a dinner with you one day when you've only got five pieces of fried chicken. That's when I want to come. He said, it'll get interesting when you've only got five pieces of fried chicken. And there's seven of you around the table. Amen. Well, it's better when it's shared with others. His idea was, I'm going to grab mine. Amen. Or at least I could, the story, you'd get two of them maybe. Amen. It's good food is better when it's shared with others. And again, I go back to that, what I said a minute ago, good wisdom's better when you share it with others as well. Good news is better when you share it with others. Amen. Miss Evelyn telling about her dad, she shared with us her burden when her dad got sick, when that hit, and she was so concerned. She shared that with us. But when he's getting better, she had to share that with us because it made it even better to share good news. Amen. Amen. Well, the contrast of this verse number 21, is that wisdom that is shared among the righteous is life-giving. Amen. It feeds many. That's why I compared it to food. It feeds many. It is life-giving. It is nourishment to them. The fool has no wisdom to share with others. What he shares with them is only more destruction, more foolishness, more vanity, more ignorance. The fool has no store of wisdom because he didn't search for it. He didn't treasure it. He didn't lay it up. But he said the wise man will. Amen. If you come upon a foolish person, don't expect to feast on wise words. Don't expect a meal of wisdom from his lips. Here's what y'all do. Turn to a righteous person. There you'll find a meal worth partaking of. Amen. That's one reason why, just like this morning, that Brother Mitchell dropped in on us. We'd never met him before. He felt a unity. I felt a unity. He seemed to enjoy our services. You know why? Because we're talking about the same wisdom. We're not talking about foolishness. Amen. Verse number 22. I'll stop with this one tonight. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Amen. Solomon was a wise man. Solomon was a rich man. Solomon was a wealthy man that had a kingdom of peace and prosperity. Of course, he had all those many wives. He had his downfalls. But Solomon, and it is an enigma how God would use a man like Solomon to write the Proverbs. But be honest with you, I've said this before, I think it's true. Most of us know better than we do. We don't even always follow our own good advice. Amen. Solomon not only had his own good advice, he was inspired of God. But Solomon knew that most men long to get rich. He says, here he's talking about how you get rich. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Solomon knew that most men wish to get rich somehow. And he knew the best way to procure those riches is the blessing of God. Amen. The wise man encourages diligence and labor. Amen. He knows that without the blessings of God, even all our labor is vain. He encourages to work, but he says, while you're working, seek the blessing of God. Seek the smile of God. Amen. Even while you're working, even hard work and careful attention to details is mostly worthless without the blessing of God. But these riches he's talking about here, I don't believe are physical riches. I don't believe they're material riches. There's more than that. They may be included, but there's more than that. When a person has the blessing of God on their life, they are rich. Amen. I don't have a lot of money laid up in the bank, but you're looking at a rich man. I'm looking at people that more than likely don't have a lot of money in the bank. I don't have a 401k or a 201k or a 101k. I don't have any of it, but I'm rich. Because I've got the blessing of God in my life. Amen. The smile of God in our life is worth more than material blessings. Whether or not you have those material blessings, you can be rich if you've got the blessings of God. Amen. Amen. A man, I'll talk about a man that recognizes his wife is a blessing. He's a blessed man. Amen. A man that recognizes his children are blessings is a blessed man. A wife that recognizes her husband and her children are blessings is a blessed woman. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Isn't it amazing that the more wealthy our world gets, the wealthier nations don't want children. They don't want children. Because children get in the way. Children are an expense to them. Children cause them problems they don't want, but poor people seem to enjoy the children God gives them, and I believe they're blessed of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, let me get off that. People that acknowledge not just their family, when they notice their friends are a blessing. They notice their church family is a blessing. We're rich. Amen. Amen. Brother Mitchell said, he said as he was leaving, thank God for this church. He said, you don't find them all over this country. He's exactly right. You don't find, we ought to thank God for the blessings of God. Amen. He said, these are the, it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. Amen. And then he says, and he addeth no sorrow to it. This blessing, these spiritual blessings that God has given us are better than worldly blessings or worldly riches. That's probably the better way to say it. Earthly gains. Because we don't have to worry about somebody breaking in and stealing it. They can't take away my blessings. Amen. I'm blessed of the Lord. Amen. We don't have to worry about taxation, thievery, fraud. Amen. By the way, the average person that gets defrauded of money, and I'm not victim blaming. That's a new phrase that I think that's come out in the last few years. I'm not victim blaming when somebody gets caught up on fraud, but 9 times out of 10, the reason people get caught up in fraud is because they are greedy for gain. They want to get rich quick. It sounds too good to be true, but I'm going to try it because I want to get rich quick. Most things that sound too good to be true are too good to be true. Amen. Amen. Well, he doesn't add sorrow with it. Amen. Amen. Even our physical blessings. Job had all those blessings. One thing we find out that we would have never known if the devil hadn't said it. The devil said to God, you put a hedge around Job. Amen. God protects his people. We would know this. He says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him to deliver him. Amen. We got the protection of God even around our physical attainments. Amen. Many of the things that people strive after and trying to get rich in this world, trying to advance in physical riches, actually do lead to sorrow. They're ashamed of things they've done. They're ashamed of lies they've told, bill of goods that they've sold. They're ashamed of how they've done in their life when they come down to the end. Amen. These Proverbs, I'm going to stop right there. These Proverbs are telling us about practical living. What are you seeking after? Are you looking for treasure from God or are you looking to get rich in this world? Are you digging for hid treasure in the Word of God and storing it up and sharing it with others? Or are you just interested in this life? Let's stand to our feet. We'll have them come with a song. We'll give an invitation time. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, dear God, for these verses you've allowed us to look at tonight. I pray that something's been said. Although they don't all fit together, we can see some connection. Lord, I pray you'd help us apply it to our life. And even if it doesn't fit right now, down the road, Lord, I pray you bring it back to our mind when we're in the right place, when we're in the right predicament, the right situation. We need these words of wisdom. Lord, I pray you'd help us with them in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray you'd help some sinner to come to Christ if they're not saved. Help the saints to be strengthened. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.